Thank you for that introduction, Anna. I appreciate it. So I know it's after lunch. Everybody's probably a little drowsy, so I'm going to start this off real quick with a little call and response. So when I say plan for, you say health, all right? So plan for.
Health.
Plan for.
Health.
That went way better than it did in my head, so I really appreciate that. That's great. I don't have to do as much work now. So I want to introduce myself. I've already been introduced. I have nothing to disclose. I have lots of relationships, but no financial here right now. Our initiatives in Columbus, we do the ones that you see in kind of the off yellow up there will be the ones that we're mainly concentrating on. The other two we're putting a little less concentration on, but we're still moving things forward with that. So with Safe Routes to School, we are implementing that large district school travel plan that Anna spoke of briefly. Basically what a school travel plan is it lays out the intentions of a school district to support active transportation in the district. So we're working on the non-infrastructure side of things, so the programming aspects of that. We're working on walking school buses, walking bike to school days, and things like that. And with the bicycle-friendly business program, we're working on making businesses or helping businesses become more bicycle-friendly in kind of a policy system environment, but I like to say policy system on individual or outreach kind of way that we approach that. With the HIA, the Health Impact Assessment, if you're not aware of what a Health Impact Assessment is, it looks at a plan, policy, or process to make sure that health and social equity are entailed. And this Connect Columbus says underneath that is a multimodal transportation plan. So planners get this, but maybe non-planners don't get this. What that plan is basically a long-range transportation plan that looks at entailing all modes of transportation. And then the Central Ohio Greenways, we're supporting their efforts by leveraging some funding and helping with their strategic planning. And with the physical activity prescriptions, we're establishing that through the school district as well. So how did we establish our coalition? How do we establish our priorities? So our priorities, we surveyed our coalition, which I'll go over in the next slide, and then the Central Ohio APA members. We gave them 13 options that we came up with internally. We took their votes. We equalized those votes. And as you can see, Safe Routes to School was by far the number one choice of implementing that travel plan. But the health impact assessment and also the bicycle-friendly business and both the physical activity prescriptions in Central Ohio Greenways also received high scores with that as well. And we were also looking at doing a bike share equity program as well. But we were waiting to hear back for some other funding. That didn't end up coming through, but we were able to leverage some other funding to help out with that. Anyways, so how was our coalition developed? Well, it was easy because it was already in existence. So that really helped. It's been in existence for 10 years, mainly supporting our Creating Healthy Communities program. And why we chose this coalition? Well, it was already in existence, so it was there. But really, they have the capacity for that PSE changes and really breaking down silos and reaching across different sectors and across community organizations. So we had a wide range of representatives from urban planning to public health and healthcare, so that really helps really fit very well with our project that we have here. So Safe Routes to School. So again, we're implementing this large district school travel plan. So what makes it a large district? Well, we have over 38,000 and over 90 K-8 schools in the district, so a very large district. And how did we create this travel plan? Well, our Ohio Department of Transportation saw that large urban districts weren't applying for funds at a rate proportional to their representation in the state. So basically, they set aside some funds to do just these large district school travel plans. We applied for, received those funds, created a travel plan. Now we're using the plan for health money to actually implement it. So some of the challenges with this, communications, logistics, obviously when you have such a large district, it's a bit of a challenge to reach across that district. It takes a lot of time, so we had to prioritize. So how do we prioritize that? Well, equity was one of those things. How did we get to that? We did a health impact assessment, as Anna mentioned, on that large district school travel plan to find our 15 focus schools. But we also look at enthusiastic principals and staff as well. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a focus school focus our attention there. The autonomy of the schools is a challenge. The district is going more and more towards the schools being self-governing. So when you walk into the school, everything is different. The culture is different. The staff is different. Getting to the grassroots level and finding the staff that are really going to take this initiative. So we have to go in face-to-face, talk with folks, figure out what they want, and figure out a plan for each individual school. It's not a blanket plan for every school. Some of the advantages, again, population is an advantage there because it has really unlimited potential. potential of what we can do. I could have a staff of probably 6 people working full-time on this and still not really get to all of these schools. But it really does have unlimited potential with that, which is pretty amazing, which leads us to the future funding. Why we created this large district school travel plan, again, makes us eligible for the Ohio Department of Transportation funding in the future, not just for a few schools, but for all of those schools. It also increases visibility as well. So with the large district school travel plan, obviously it's going to be more visible than just a small travel plan. I presented this to City Council. I'll be presenting this to City Council. I presented this to the Board of Education. So we're getting the attention of decision makers there, which could bring other funding. And we also partner with the Department of Public Service, which is our transportation department, to implement the infrastructure countermeasures, which they can implement through their long-range transportation plans and some of their street projects that they're doing now as well. With our bicycle-friendly business program, again, policy, environment, individual changes that we're going for there. So, you know, how do we do this? Well, we work through our established networks, working with the local advocacy group and then some of the networks that we have already as well. We go in, we contact folks, we sit down with them at their place of business. We evaluate their environment, their physical environment, and their policies and any other kind of education or encouragement things that they're doing. We provide them with strengths and weaknesses. And to do this analysis, there's an organization called the League of American Bicyclists. It's a national advocacy group. And we use their bicycle-friendly business application to guide our process. So how we look at the education engineering kind of aspects to that as well. We also facilitate bike parking if needed. So whether it's on private property, we can give that advice. But we, again, work with the Department of Public Service, partnering there as they provide free bike parking in the public right-of-way if it does fit in front of those businesses. And a lot of businesses aren't aware that it's available, or we really help facilitate that process, both the bike parking and the application, to make it easier for businesses to be more bike-friendly and be recognized for it. This is an example. So on your left side, you'll see an example of a couple of one-pagers that we have, and I'll have a few of these printed out for us afterwards as well. And then on the other side is our engagement materials. So this is really a half page that I've kind of locked into this slide, but basically explaining why you should do this and then how we can help you do this, basically. With the health impact assessment, again, we looked at the Connect Columbus transportation plan. So this is I think this plan is really going to change a lot of the way transportation is done in Columbus. Traditionally, traffic engineers look at moving cars. And so this plan is going to change some of the design standards that they go by, some of the analysis that they do, to free it up so that other modes of transportation are taken into consideration. So we'll prioritize transit here. Walking should be prioritized everywhere, of course. Prioritize biking here, prioritize cars here, et cetera. So this health impact assessment, we're looking at physical activity, food access, air quality and traffic safety. And with the food access, we're also creating a food action plan in partnership with our county as well. And so we're working closely with that team, sharing our research and making sure that we're both on the same page with what we put out there. So these preliminary findings are just literature review. Some of these may be familiar to you, but you know, you think of active transportation, you're thinking of biking and walking mainly, but transit is also, because you have to walk to get there. And it actually can have a huge impact on physical activity. Looking at food access, you know, you can increase food access in neighborhoods where they don't have it by providing better transportation options for folks to get around, better transit, better walking. Also, air quality, this kind of crosses over with our safe routes to school, in that air quality can affect cognitive development. If you have a school close to a freeway, you can have see lower test scores, etc. And then income is related to injury. So lower socioeconomic status populations tend to have higher rates of pedestrian and bicycle injury. Just touching on these briefly, so the Central Ohio Greenways, so we used a little bit of this funding from Plan for Health to leverage for additional funding to do strategic planning and to formalize the Central Ohio Greenways for a board and subcommittees. And what the Central Ohio Greenways looks at is multi-use trails, essentially, and really building the network, the great network that we already have. Physical activity prescriptions, so right now the district does fitness tests, and they don't really have much of a next step besides, you know, go to PE class. But we want to formalize that a little bit more, have an actual prescription of these are the options, here's some resources, these are how you can get to biking and walking places, things like that. So some of the main takeaways from here. I'd say that, you know, it may be obvious, but relationship building, it's something that I knew walking into this, but has really been solidified over and over and over, how important relationship building is. One-on-one personal building relationship makes all of this happen, and that one person can make this huge difference that you connect with. Overlapping projects, I mentioned our Creating Healthy Communities program, that overlaps well. They support our Safe Routes to School, our Bicycle Friendly Business program as well. They focus on specific zip codes so we can kind of strategize how we use those resources. Simplifying the complex, those one pagers that I briefly showed you there, really distilling information down, distilling that application down, distilling that bike parking down into a very easy process, easy to understand process so that people, especially engaging businesses, they're here to make money. They don't have a whole lot of time to dedicate to things maybe they want to do, so making that process easier. So keeping the balls rolling. So I kind of see it as a room this wide. It's not as much juggling as you have all these balls lined up and you just kind of roll a few, you run over here, you roll a few more, you run over here, you roll a few more, just keeping everything moving so that you kind of have a progress and see what happens kind of at the end. And then the support versus hand-holding is that blurry line between, how much like hands-on you can be and how much support you can offer and how you're going to take your hands off slowly there. So we tend to support a lot at the beginning with these programs and slowly take our hands away and see if they're going to sustain it on their own. And then support them again if they need it, but eventually we're going to have to kind of be hands-off there and it'll have more online resources to use. And then building capacity. So we have, this grant really allowed us to do so much, but we've gone out and got another smaller grant to bring on an intern to help out with the health impact assessment, which is fantastic. And then we're going to have some more people coming in. So we've been kind of very low on staff, but I think we're going to hit a peak where we're just going to start going downhill. Well, downhill may sound bad, but it's actually a good thing. Momentum's really going to pick up, and a lot of these things are really going to start rolling. So there's my contact information. We'll take questions after, I believe. Thank you.